All right, we are online. Everyone can hear us all.
Hear me.
How are y'all doing?
Pretty good.
I just got a rare card, anyways.
Let's see. It's Simone.
Thank you.
Yay. Wow, that's a big one.
That's a lot of bookmarks.
Yeah, I know.
Money? Okay.
I have to go make that pizza.
Okay, you just have
enjoy
money
your pizza.
Just mm-hmm. money.
I don't get
there.
A pizza.
Well, somebody gave me something, so I'm just using this bookmark. Okay. So I was like, don't give me
that. Hey.
I'll be back later.
Where are we?
So, today, I will give you one of these.
Okay.
We are in Volume 1, Session 3 of the Learn Curriculum, and the title today is The Bible is My Guide. Okay. What you getting, kiddo?
Coffee.
Did you get me some?
Yeah, I'll get some.
Okay. All right. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that.
I know that scripture. Okay.
Our upbringing often influences our view of the Bible. For some, the Bible is that oversized book that sat covered in dust on the coffee table. For others, it's simply a book of good morals and suggestions, or even worse, outdated laws designed to keep us from having fun. The truth is, the Bible is a living, breathing word of God. Through it, God speaks to those who will listen, giving guidance and correction. At times, Scripture brings us hope and encouragement. It has the power to transform us as we explore how the Bible is relevant to our lives today. Perhaps one question we need to answer is this: how should the Bible be my guide? So if you want to follow along, there actually is an app for this whole thing. There's a Bible Engagement Project app that you can actually get for your phone, and our group is actually can be found on that as well. And you can type in notes in there. It's actually pretty nifty, if I'm allowed to use that word.
French vanilla.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's true. Honey, no, I don't need creamer. Thank you.
Oh.
I'm good. Just two Splenda.
Project.
Not that everyone in the world wanted to know that, but hey.
Oh, well, there it is. Is it orange?
Yes. That's it. Okay. So you can go to the App Store and all that, and you can find Bible Engagement Project. You can download it there. And in fact, I think there's a way to set yourself up to join the group.
Uh-huh.
I think it's done by, like, your location. In fact, I think it's like location checks. So, like, Big Brother Bible Study.
Oh, joy.
Oh, joy. So, So, I have a question. We're going to start off with a question here. It says, who or where do you turn to for advice?
My dad.
Your dad?
Yeah, my dad.
Why?
Because you know everything.
I do not know everything. That is incorrect.
You know so much,
so Elizabeth said her dad. So for me, gosh, where do I go to turn to for advice? Well, I have a coach that I work with who helps keep my brain on straight, and
uh-huh.
I have my wife who is always my sounding board. I have God that I can turn to. And, yeah. So I've got a lot of different places and a lot of people, I guess. What about you?
Probably the husband. My kids are getting older, so it's funny how sometimes you talk to them and see what their ideas are.
Mm-hmm.
And then scriptures.
That's good.
Prayer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it says here, everyone who has ever lived has had their life strongly impacted by others. Our family and friends The media, the culture, all influences us, and everyone, regardless of their place in society or the era in which they live, must choose what the guiding basis for all their decisions will be. As Christians, the focal point of our lives is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That's from Acts 2:36. We should strive to build lives that are pleasing and obedient to Him. The best way to do that is to choose the Bible, His Word, as our foundational guide. So, as we watch this video, think about an answer to this question. What's an example of good advice in the Bible that non-Christians would say is foolish? All right. So let me go back to that question. What's an example of good advice in the Bible that non-Christians would say is foolish? Challenging your Bible knowledge today.
I'd say, cannot marry the same sex.
Okay.
Yep.
What else? You are in your own world today, aren't you?
Any kind of faith, hope, love, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it is supposed to be outdated or not needed.
Turning the other cheek. Mm-hmm. I think we miss that one a lot.
Yeah, I know that. Like, I say to my friend, I'm like, let God take revenge. And they just do what they want to do anyway. I'm like, I'm going to slap you. No, I won't. I'm going to slap you. I'm not going to. Anyways.
It can almost make us feel like we're pushovers, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But are you?
No, yeah, no, maybe. I mean, I am kind of a pushover myself. I try not to be.
Doesn't that make you gullible? Like, not courageous? Like, you can't stand up for yourself?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
No. I'm actually like that, though.
Well.
Like, when I play a game online and I say that Jesus loves you, like the other day, an atheist came. It was an atheist in my game. I'm like, oh, what do I do?
Were you scared?
I was just, like, saying stuff about Jesus and stuff, and then everybody else kept talking on me for it. I'm like, I didn't know what to do.
That's what the world does.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to commend you for that.
What does that mean?
I will give you good props. You get props.
I don't know what that means.
Did good, kid.
Okay.
There you go. So... what else do we got? Anyone else? Any other thoughts on that?
Mm-mm. No lying or cheating.
No lying or cheating?
Ooh. Yeah.
What if it's a white lie?
Right. Then it's fine.
What if it's a lie to make it so that people feel better?
Make right? people feel better? Mm-hmm. Is it more important to make people feel better or more important to be honest. To have morals?
But then what if somebody asks you if they look good and you don't want to say that they look bad? But you don't want to lie to them either, so what do you say?
Well.
Yeah.
What do you think you should say in that moment?
Someone would be like, does my hair look good? And I'll be like, no.
It depends on how well you know them.
Like,
well,
no.
What do I do?
It's an interesting style.
Like, you said that I give you advice. What do I do with you guys?
Like, whenever I don't look good.
Yeah.
Oh, you tell me to change.
My own kids, yeah.
You right? tell me to change my clothes.
Why?
Because you don't want me to look so foolish.
Right.
In front of everyone, so.
When you get older. But if you're two and dressing, usually we let that go.
Put on the pajamas! Get the pajamas on!
But if you're your age and you try to walk out the house in the mini skirt and the halter top.
I would never wear that.
Or pajamas, and it's not pajama day. It's,
well, it's pajama day tomorrow.
Your parents would tell you that because they care, right?
If we catch it.
Well, there's that, too. There's that. But I mean, for the most part, your parents try to help you with those things. You don't always think it's help, but...
yeah, sometimes your dad goes, what in the world are you wearing?
What are you thinking? Yeah.
And Abby mistakes you for something else. I'm like, hey, yo. He's not wrong.
We're not talking about Abby. She's not here. Be nice.
Dang it.
She can't defend herself.
Anyways.
So, yeah. Abby is studying like crazy right now because she has finals this week.
Oh, this is the last week of school?
This is the last week of school.
And she's a junior?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a freshman. I have to finish... I finished my slides. I just have to finish my paper. And I have to make my U-boat for history class. Mm. It's so annoying.
See, we finished at the end of April. We start our summer curriculum in
summer school.
May.
Nice.
Which isn't quite as crazy, but then my parents were here this week, so we take that week off.
Do you ever look to the Bible for advice?
Yeah. I have scriptures memorized from when I was a kid that float through my mind all the time. Do I have them here? I have a list of scriptures.
Yeah.
Wow. I have this one scripture.
My go-tos.
That I've had remembered. I've remembered it since I was like 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's like a concordance in the back sometimes of your Bible. Mm-hmm. Or you can come visit my office and I've got like 1,000 books.
My other study journal, because we have one every year because we homeschool.
Yeah.
And every time I see a quote online, I'll print it. and then glue it in there throughout the year. And there's always quotes and scriptures. And
I thought that said barn.
No, that is Psalm.
I'm like, no, it's
Psalm 119:105. So, but some of these I have memorized and I go through, and other ones I mark in here. And sometimes, so when I'm going through and I know where stories are or sections are, that I can go through and know what I thought last time I went through it.
So a lot of times when I'm prepping stuff and I just want to find something quick, I actually use Google. So
we have like
so what I do is I actually type scripture colon, and then I type out like what I'm like, where is this topics, or what is this topic or whatever it is. And then what I do is when it pops up the search results, I don't typically use like the AI return, which is the first thing they give you now. I look for, because there's certain websites that I know are really good.
Right, that you can trust.
That I can trust, and so I can look at those and go, yeah, okay. Like, Blue Letter Bible is a great one. Bible Gateway is good. And so we get a chance to, we have a pretty cool tool in America.
Oh, I know. And we, in our scriptures, we have a topical guide and a Bible dictionary that we use all the time. And so sometimes I'll look it up on digital version of it, and other times I'll look it up in my actual scriptures. But they'll give you topics and where to find in multiple places, or kind of a footnotes kind of thing. So yeah, we like that a lot. And then we have several other books that people have published that have topics or general studies of our stuff, and because we kind of, we do a lot of talks and lessons and things like that, and so we all kind of do this stuff together, I guess. Yeah. Study.
So let's continue. Consider what the Bible says. Let's explore the distinction Jesus made between people who are wise in building their lives and those who are foolish. So here's a question: if you could live anywhere at all, what kind of place would you choose? The mountains, a beach, in a city, or perhaps by a stream in the woods with no one nearby?
I might live in a small town, actually.
So
we actually moved here because this is where we wanted to be.
Wow.
We like knew the area, and then we started looking houses. We put an offer in on one, and by the end it just wouldn't work out. And then Dan came and looked at this one and called me up and said, it's done. We're here. You coming too? But, I mean, we knew the area we wanted. We knew we wanted land. We knew we wanted the stream and the ponds and the green. And
cool.
Yeah. So that's why we're here.
One of the things I love about being here is it is that small town that I really have come to respect and love.
And you live here in town?
Yeah, we live up on Y.
Oh, okay.
So,
Yeah.
So we live out more in the boondocks than in town. So,
yeah.
But the thing is that we, you know, I miss the mountains because I liked the mountains when I was there, but I can go visit them.
Yeah. A lot of people love the beach, and to me, I don't mind visiting the beach, but I like the green and the streams and ponds and stuff.
See, there. My wife misses the beach.
Yeah.
And when we lived in Virginia, we got the beach all the time. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was like over it.
Yeah.
But I was also in Iraq
for
like 2.5 years total. And so just being over there and dealing with all the sand and dust over there, I was really over sand.
Yeah.
So I didn't, there was a point where I was actually like angry about going to the beach. I did not want to go to the beach. I still don't like the beach that much.
It's fine. It's too hot for me.
It's so dirty.
I like to,
It's dirty. Being in the water's fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's just, you know, you got to get out eventually, and then you get all the sand stuck between your feet and ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, some people like that.
Some people love it.
My wife likes it. So we've got pictures of our kids all playing in the sand and.
I like winter.
And it's fine to visit occasionally every few years, and then other than that, I'm good.
I think that's like the biggest thing for me. I'm like, yeah, we can go there every once in a while.
Yeah.
But now I'm talking with my wife, and I'm like, you know, I really want to go to Colorado. We haven't been in forever.
Yeah.
And that's where my mom that's where her memorial is, so I want to go visit her there.
Because we go to Prescott every so often. Prescott, Northern Arizona. There's mountains up there.
Yeah, so she's in Colorado Springs.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I want to go back out there and visit. I used to live there growing up. My dad was Air Force, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dan's dad was Air Force, too, so they moved around all the time.
And there's just so much to see out there. I want to show all my kids the stuff that I saw.
I've been to my uncle's house. He was in just outside of Denver, but I've never done anything beyond that with Colorado, and it's probably been 30 years since I've been there, 40.
Well, we've talked about doing it on our, like, east, our westbound trip or whatever we want to call it, like seeing the United States trip that we have a pipe dream of that.
Yeah, we never actually touch the other side of the United States. We just stay on this
have.
Side.
Well, your mom has. You have not.
Right. Yeah.
The farthest west you've ever lived is when we were in North Dakota. So.
Nice.
So. Elizabeth, would you read from there? Would you start at Imagine?
Imagine you're moving to a new place to build a house. Plenty of inexpensive lots are available near the river. You'd be close to everything you need, and a construction team could get there easily. Lots are also available higher up in the mountains, but these lots are significantly more expensive. You'd also be further from all the conveniences, and it would be a lot harder to build a house there. Do you know which lot you'd choose? Wait, before you answer, there's just one more important detail. The river has been known to flood. It happens very rarely, and might not happen at all for some time to come. But when it floods, all the homes built by the river get wiped out. That information probably impacts your decision.
Oh yeah.
Let's look at what Jesus would. We're going to explore the distinction Jesus made between people who are wise in building their lives and people who are foolish. Let's consider a few steps to take as we build our lives day by day and choice by choice.
So, we will start in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 47. Hey, could you go get my Bible from my office and then get yourself one too? Because you're going to want it.
I'm thinking.
Six,
you know, we have Bible study, and you figure I bring the iPad out, I get the computer all set up, I get all the papers out and everything. What did I forget?
The Bible.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could use my phone, but...
It's not the same.
Right?
I'm weird about that. Yeah, I know. Even on Sundays when you're teaching, I'm like, but I probably have notes on this chapter. What do I do now?
So maybe this is a good chance, like, for folks that are listening online. Hey, go get your Bibles. Because, you know, we have to go get our Bibles.
I made the child go get it, so.
I know. That's why we have children, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah, we drove through... Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and I, we drove through Nevada, and you know, when you're coming through, you drop off the mountains from Utah, and it's just this huge valley straight down almost, and then you look out, and it's just this super long stretch of nothing.
Really?
So, thanks, kiddo.
I got the fire barber.
Cool. This one's seen better days.
This one's pretty hot. It's called file fiber.
Bible.
Fiber. Flip.
It's your Biber.
I don't know. Fire Bible.
Your B-I-B-E-R.
Right. I just didn't know if there was a... That one looks like brand new.
It's a Biber.
It is brand new. Wow.
All right. We're going to be in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 47.
Wait. What is it? Chapter 6?
Yes, yeah. Luke 6.
I'll tell you my page number, but I don't think that would help you out much.
No, it wouldn't.
I'm on page 1,679.
Ooh, I'm on 1,285.
Boy, the flip is 6.
Are your numbers not numbering?
No, they're not.
Look at the very top corner, and that'll tell you where you're at.
Where are you,
there
47?
You go. It's 46.
Found it.
All right.
I can read it.
Go ahead.
Good.
So So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teachings, and then follows it. Huh. Is that right?
Well, your version,
keep
yeah.
going. But it says 46 to 47.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Dad,
you're right, I'm slow.
Meanie head.
Many people are glad to accept Jesus as Savior, but it's more difficult to accept Him as Lord or Commander in our lives. We're glad to be saved from our sins, but hesitate to relinquish control of our lives. How would you describe the difference between Jesus as Savior and Jesus as Lord of your life?
One's past, one's present. Gives you...
Well, future too.
Future too, but I mean, one's... Okay, I have faith that He died on the cross for me, but what does that do for me from this point on? Then?
Right.
Because... The cross does more than just saves you from sin and death. There's more to it.
Sure.
And so He's also Prince of Peace, the Savior, the Comforter, He has all these different names in here, and if we
right.
only recognize Him as, well, He forgave my sins and He saved me from physical death, but now what?
Yeah. It requires a change in your life, too. Right?
And sometimes bigger than others.
So what does it mean when Jesus is Lord of our lives?
We have trust in Him.
Follow Him.
Mm-hmm.
Be obedient.
He's an example to us, so we...
Yeah.
We ask Him for advice.
Yeah. Sure. Good.
We have a relationship with Him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on a roll. Actually, I'm on a chair. So
here's the next question. Why is the idea of surrendering our life to God so frightening?
Because you have control.
Yeah, and also, like, you can lose a lot of things that you had built up already.
Yeah.
Like, your addiction and stuff.
Loss of control. Loss of identity. Because you may have had an identity.
Or a new identity.
Yeah, having a new identity. Like, I remember reading about when, I can't remember where it was, the folks that were committing their lives to Christ, and then they would bring all of their spell books and burn them.
With them. Oh.
Yeah. And these spell books were very, very expensive.
I knew a lady that I taught with back in Arizona, and she come from India, so she was Buddhist. And when she joined whichever Christian church, she says, I don't allow anything from my previous religion into my home anymore. She completely,
right.
I mean, she isolated family, friends, and she's like, it's a Christian home now.
Well, and I think a lot of that goes back to what we were talking about earlier today when we were talking about, you know, we have to not only be a good example, but we have to set a good example.
Exactly.
And just because something may not bother us spiritually doesn't mean it won't bother other people spiritually. And we don't want to be responsible for people falling back and stumbling. Right?
For a brother's keeper, right?
Yeah. Would you be willing to continue on and then on through to the next...
48 and 49?
To the next question. You could even read the next part of Scripture. So you'll start at God is infinitely.
Oh, God is infinitely wiser than we are. We can also trust His love for us. Because of these things, we can absolutely trust what He says and instructs us to do. And we can wholeheartedly commit ourselves to follow what God's word says. And then 48 and 49.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Luke 6, 48 to 49.
He is like a man which built an house and a dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built on an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great.
Well, let's
See, I actually, mine goes on to say that the destruction was complete.
Oh, well, there you go then.
So, well, that would be great as well.
Mine said when the flood sweep down against the house.
And the joy of all the different versions that we can get.
Well,
oh, how fun.
I know.
Right?
I can't even follow along. I'm like, what?
I know. I
all got interesting versions today.
I have King James version.
I was about to say, is it KJV?
Yep.
So that sounds KJV.
NLT. Uh-huh. That's what we use. So.
Yeah.
Because, again, we all buy the same one, so we can tell you what page we're on. They make them all the same. Is that crazy?
Nah.
What?
I don't know.
What? Wait, no, there's page numbers.
Yeah.
I'm on 1,556. You're on 1,286.
And if you buy them from our church website, they all have the same page numbers.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
I know.
All right. What's the, read the next part, please, all another questions.
This passage, Jesus isn't making a distinction between good and bad people. He is pointing out the difference between wise and foolish ones. Both builders heard what he said, but only one obeyed him. The one who didn't obey had his life wiped out. But the one who did obey by taking the trouble to dig deep and make a firm foundation was able to withstand the storms of life. Much more than just an old story, this illustration Jesus gives us has powerful relevance to all of us today as we strive to build our lives as Christian people in a non-Christian world.
So, question. Why might those who built their life on easy ground have chosen to build there?
Because
you just said.
Yeah.
I know.
It's easy.
It's easy.
It's easy and there's nothing you have to do to make it hard, and you don't have to step out of your comfort zone, you don't have to change who you are.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to trust in anybody else.
What's the downside of that, though?
You don't get to go to heaven.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, that, and you never get to learn new things.
But what about, because the scripture is talking about when the storms arise and the waters start buffeting the house. It's kind of like when bad things happen.
You don't know what to do.
Right.
You have no foundation, so you can get caught up in whatever's happening to you.
Let's overcome. Anyways.
But look at Jesus slept through the storm on the boat.
Right.
Without a problem. And they woke him up. They're like, don't you care that we die? If we die? He's like,
don't you trust me?
I'm right here.
Right?
So,
I always found that interesting.
Hi there. I made story mistakes to me.
I always found that funny. I haven't gotten to that part in. Do you watch The Chosen?
No, not yet.
Not yet. So I'm in the
last season right now. It's on my list to watch it.
It's actually very good. Be careful. The first two or three episodes, really hard to get into, and then it starts picking up.
Yeah, I can
understand
that. Have you heard that? I can understand that.
So, but, yeah, like I said, I'm in the last season of it now, and it's been really good.
Cool. So what are some ways that choosing to build on the solid foundation of God's Word is a challenge?
There's lots of obstacles in your way.
Because you have to choose it. You have to actively, if it just passively happened, then there would be no learning in this life. There would be no moving forward, any of that. Whereas this, you have to actively choose that direction.
Well, and you have to choose to learn.
Yeah.
I'm doing a class right now, and it's on psychoeducational groups.
Interesting.
Wow.
And I was reading it all about psychoeducational groups, and I went, well, I'm about to go do one of those. So congratulations, we're all in a psychoeducational
group. What does that
even
mean?
So
psychology.
Psychological education.
And learning.
I thought you were
calling
me a psychopath.
The idea being is that our minds are being worked on and transformed through what we're doing.
Well, also another thing that could get in the way is lots of people will try to get you to come back down to the easy side.
Yes.
So much temptation.
There is.
Just gotta push it away, run away.
Satan's been around a long time. He knows how to tempt you.
Run back to safe house on the mountain.
I remember back in the 90s, it was one of the illustrations that I heard a pastor say once, there's a reason why they put the casinos on the water, because they can't even survive on the sand. And I went, okay, well, whatever, dude. But
what?
I know, you don't get that.
I don't get it at all.
It's before your time. It's technically almost before my time, because I was younger than you.
Back in my day.
It was a back in my day moment. So, all
right.
I remember a story, and I couldn't quote it for you right now, because I'd have to go figure out where it was. But there was this one point when Jesus came in and healed a man. And he's like, oh my gosh, can you just stay with me forever now? And he's like, no, now you have to get out in the world and be a witness of me. Be a testimony of me. Go. We can't just sit around and be easy. We have to continually move forward and be an example to others and share our testimony with others, and that's why we're here.
Yeah.
He's just either introvert, ambivert, or extrovert. He is Jesus.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Well, but he's also human, right?
He was.
And so that part of the TV show Chosen has been really interesting. He's sitting at the dinner table with his mom, and she's like, you know I don't like raisins, right? But he eats it anyway. And so, but again, it gives more life to him besides just the few scriptures that people write about him. And it's probably not true. Maybe it is. Who knows? But it reminds you that he is human. And a lot of times he goes off into the, it's not woods, but off on his own. And he is, you can see him struggling with whatever problem is going on. That's his human side of him. He doesn't just have all the answers all the time. And so it's really neat to add more depth to just what we've been reading about in his life. And, builds a character for us.
Did you know, although our English translations have given us, has given Jesus their tradition of being a carpenter, the Greek word is tekton, a more general term for builder. Historically, wood was a rare commodity in the land of Israel, with most buildings using stone for construction instead. Due to the weight of stone, the job of a builder was an incredibly important and respected craft in the ancient world of the New Testament. It required significant skill in planning and problem solving in order to create safe and sound structure. Jewish communities often considered builders to be the most prominent thinkers as a result of their required skills. If a judge, magistrate, or religious leader was not available to dissolve a dispute of legal or religious matter, the communities historically would turn to their resident tecton.
That's interesting.
I didn't know that.
I want to read the next one.
Go ahead.
As we allow the Bible to be the guide for our life, God will direct us in big and small ways. Like the words of Jesus in the last section, the author of this psalm makes it clear that embracing God's message gives us the right starting point every part of our life.
All right. Psalm 119, 101 to 105. I'll read that one when we're ready.
Okay, yeah, Dad, wait. No, I'm not ready yet.
Psalm 119.
It's the acrostic psalm.
Oh my gosh, I flipped right to it.
The longest
chapter in the Bible.
Oh my gosh.
If you open your Bible in the exact middle, you should fall there.
119, 105.
Oh gosh, where
did it go? 101 to 105.
I'm trying to find it. I know 105, but...
Okay, where is the... Oh, my gosh.
You got this.
I've got this.
Big, long chapter. Looking for verses that are triple digits, which doesn't happen that often.
Found it.
All right. It says this. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path.
Sounds like my Bible with it. Anyways.
The writer of this psalm rejoiced in obeying God's word. He compared God's word to a lamp for illuminating the path in the darkness. In reflections on the psalms, C.S. Lewis compared life before and after believing in Jesus to the difference between walking on an icy path and then stepping onto solid ground.
Wow.
The truth and firm foundation of the Bible can help us make life's choices with steadiness and confidence. More frequent Bible reading leads to greater understanding and direction.
I want to ask the question.
You want to ask it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Why might some people be so resistant to reading the Bible regularly?
It's boring!
Exactly.
Nobody likes to read anymore.
So many little words, I can't read all of them.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from kids and from adults. It's boring!
There's a really large percentage of people that after high school never complete another book.
Right.
Oh.
No, that's seriously. Crazy.
It's very true. It's very true.
70% or something.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of those are college students.
Well, yeah, we want to talk about that.
I'd also say, like, another reason why they wouldn't want to regularly read the Bible is because sometimes, like, whenever I read the Bible, like, any type of Bible like this, I can't figure out where I'm reading it. Because, like, I lose where I am, and I keep on trying to find it. But there's so many little letters.
Well, then get the jumbo version and read
that's
the big
word. That's not going to fit in my backpack.
Oh.
Well, we've got a large print in there.
I have an action Bible, which Matthias still has it. I need it
read
back.
Read it out loud.
Yeah.
Or get an audiobook. Sometimes, depending
like,
if you're
an like
audio-visual learner.
Yeah. I'm a very audio person.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it now where they have, like, celebrities reading the Bible.
Oh, really?
No. David Tennant?
Maybe.
Ours every week. We read some scriptures every week, and then we answer questions, and we discuss, and we do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want them to sit and listen to my voice all the time, and so I find audiobooks, and we listen to that.
When I do my devotion, I like putting it on audio. I don't want to read it myself. I want it, because, like, I have it on NLT for my devotion, because the dude that reads it, I like his voice. It's very modern, and it's so calming, too.
I like both, because I listen to them as I'm reading it, because sometimes if I just read it in my head, I don't feel like I get it all.
And I can't read without something like music going on in my head. Because if I read without
learning
anything,
styles,
well,
right?
and from the aspect of pedagogy,
what?
From the aspect of pedagogy,
what the flip is that?
It's the theories of teaching.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
There are three types of learners.
Yeah,
you have your visual learners, your audio learners, your audible learners, and your tactile learners.
Yeah, Malachi's a tactile learner.
So, if you have a Bible reading to you, that engages your hearing.
Yeah.
If you have a Bible that you're looking at and following along as it's reading, that's your visual. And on top of that, if you're holding a Bible,
I was gonna say, go ahead and act it out.
And you're following along with your finger. Mm-hmm. That's actually tactile.
Nice.
The what now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, and it's interesting because it's like, I think a lot of times with people don't know how to read anymore.
No.
Yeah.
It's like writing a check. It's a lost art. Or writing a letter. It's a lost art.
Cursive.
And cursive. Yeah. I mean, they don't even teach cursive anymore.
They don't. I'm like,
and,
why?
You know, I was told that you wouldn't be taken seriously in the business world unless you knew how to write cursive.
Right.
In high school, and that's not a thing now.
And had to do all your problems because you'll never have a calculator in your pocket all the time.
Right. Yeah, well, I think someone who created that app on our phone was like,
as a joke,
to a joke. But,
But still.
Yeah. We do this, we have this stuff available to us all the time now.
Mm-hmm. And we take it for granted.
And we do, but the thing is like, I don't think people even know how, like, if you ever read a book,
wow,
it's hard at first.
Oh yeah.
Granted, like I have like ADHD tendencies, where if I don't want to start something, I won't a lot
and
of times.
And everything coming at me, I get distracted
right.
real quick.
But see,
but,
with
yeah.
but
you
like
keep going. It
like
takes
with
practice.
College, I can't do that with college because I have to read, because otherwise I'm not gaining knowledge.
Right, that's the point.
And so I'm reading, like, I'm right before we started all of this, I was in there reading an article I needed to read for my class, and it took me about a page and a half. After about a force of page and a half reading, I finally clicked in. It started to click in, and then it starts to work. But I think people just don't get past that first 100 words.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, I recommend the show to one of my friends, and like, yeah, I watched it. I didn't get into it. Because you barely watched it at all. You never watched it. You never even tried to get into it. My gosh, just watch the show. It's so good. Anyways.
We're talking about books.
What?
Books.
I'm joking. But yeah, movies.
The Bible.
Shows are going that way too, and that's crazy,
they are.
Isn't
Maybe
it?
I should be heard
Isn't that crazy? That that's how TV shows are going? It's like, people, unless it's like quick digestion.
The comic book style that has become so popular because they can't read a novel. They have to. Graphic novels?
Right.
Yeah. And so then they sit down to read their Bible and they're like, there's no pictures.
Well, it takes the imagination out of work too, because now you're looking at the picture instead of creating it in your mind.
And we were talking at the beginning, you have to choose. You have to work. You have to. Yeah, it's not just the easy path.
Well, and there's a lot of things when it comes to the Bible that are honestly just different.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different styles of writing in the Bible. There's so many different authors in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Everything comes from the Lord. There's culture in there. Yeah. And you have to remember, if you're going to read a scripture in context, you have to read a scripture in context within its culture.
Right. And even nowadays, I mean, some of the scriptures we have were written back in the 1800s. So how do you go back and you're like, well, what was going on then? And what was the actual definition of that word?
Yeah.
It has changed a bit.
Just a bit.
Right?
Oh, there's a debate even over, like, the King James Version.
Yeah.
Because was it written to pander to a king? We don't know. I mean, maybe not. We don't. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't care that much.
Right.
as long as scripture is accurate and it's not lying and can be sourced back to the original, I am good.
So you have your translation if you know the original languages.
Right.
And,
well,
and some people study that and gives it more meaning.
Well, it's like the NIV. Uh-huh. When the NIV is what I read out of, it's a combination of paraphrase and literal. It's somewhere in between all that. But there are portions of the NIV I know that are wrong.
Sure.
Because they just translated it wrong.
But again, what we...
And...
One of our things is we believe the Bible is true as far as it is translated correctly. Because there are so many authors, there are so many translations, and I don't read Greek and Hebrew fluently, so I can't tell you yes or no.
Yeah. That's one of the advantages of having a website like Blue Letter Bible.
Right.
If you go to blueletterbible.com, I think it is, you can go in there and you can type up any scripture. It will give you, like... It'll give you the original language.
Nice.
And the definition of what the phrases in that original language are.
Okay.
And so sometimes in my sermons, I've actually read scripture directly as it would have been presented in Greek, but translated to English.
Okay.
And, you know, it's one of those times where I'm like, okay, well, this is what, you know, normally when I preach, I'm preaching out of the NLT. The New Living Translation.
You keep on preaching on NIV nowadays.
I'm out of NIV right now? Okay. Well, I'm in the NIV right now, probably because that's what I have on my desk.
Yeah, sure.
And then, you know, every once in a while, I'll go look this one up or whatever it is, and then it'll be, this is what the actual words are saying. And,
right.
You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of interpretation because... Mm-hmm.
That's what the Holy Ghost is for, and that's what pastor teachers are for. And,
well,
it's
a different language.
Yeah.
And it operates differently. Mm-hmm. It operates differently. Did you know that?
Differently.
So, like Spanish
and
has different words that are, that are feminine, masculine, and neutral.
Uh-huh.
Greek has 10 different ways that a word could be written.
Oh, wow.
And depending on how the word is written, it means a different thing. Mm-hmm. Yo.
Same thing with Japanese stuff, too, like Japanese writing and stuff, especially manga. You don't read left to right, you read right to left, and you start here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I read manga too much, and then I get back to a regular American book, and I'm like, oh. I try to say that tight, I'm like,
all right. Wow, we spent a lot of time on that one. Yeah. How does knowing the Bible better help you make life decisions? Can you think of a specific example that you want to share?
Oh, yeah, like someone would be like there was a time when I did not know if suicide prediction was sinful or not. And whenever I learned about it, I'm like, oh, wow, that really is sinful because it's hurting God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really hurting yourself as well, and God does not want that for you. So I realized that suicide was a sin because I, read the Bible and searched it up too. But, that's how I figured it out. So if I learn more about the Bible and stuff, I'll know what to say whenever people ask me questions about it.
True.
Trust me, I've gotten a lot of questions. So many questions.
That's good. You have to be prepared.
Is it, I think it's... See, I'm not really good at quoting scripture, but I know where it's at.
It's okay.
James.
Hebrews
James.
Sometimes I wish I could have a Bible that had, little bookmarks of where the books are.
Then you use all of them, and you wish you had more, let me tell you.
There are so many, it's crazy.
James what?
James 1:5.
Okay.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And so
what the flip is James.
It's in the Hebrews? New Testament.
Go to Hebrews and take a right.
What does Hebrew then?
I don't know. She brewed coffee earlier.
Don't you memorize all your books of the Bible?
She did.
Galatians 3. There's a third one.
No, we're in...
No, that's James. Galatians chapter 3.
What a
silly goose.
Don't call me silly goose.
And so, but to me, that is... It tells you right there that if you're having trouble making decisions, ask of God.
I'm having trouble finding this book.
And I think it's one of yours.
It might be.
Yeah.
Sounds like Simone.
Did we hit 7 o'clock? They might have, closed the doors and come over here.
Romans?
Come on
no,
now.
No, James.
I'm trying to write.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. You can write it down and look it up later. But it's James 1, James, John,
James,
Revelation.
James.
Okay, so, but whenever we have life trouble decision making in life, you go back to this verse and it says what? Ask of God and it will be given to you. It may not be instant.
Right.
You may have to move forward and he'll guide your direction.
That's right.
But he will answer you.
What are all these?
Did you
numbers?
Guys shut down?
No.
Oh. Well, you got 2 minutes, so. So that's one of the verses that I go to all the time.
I found it.
Oh, good. I'm so
good
glad.
You,
yes.
Do you want to highlight it while you're there?
This is in my Bible.
Be careful. You get addicted to highlighting and circling and writing stuff, and it'll look like mine.
Yep. Or just write a bunch of sermons.
Yeah.
And then you can always look it back
sometimes
up later.
Sometimes you have to go buy a new cheapo one so that you can go through and highlight different things.
Well, bam. Well, you know, did
you
know
if you have a question and then you go through and highlight when you read
Bible
it.
They make Bible highlighters specifically for Bibles.
But again, that's one of them that we, or that I go to a lot if I need.
Go ahead, treat me head up without me.
All right.
Just ice.
Let's go. Let's wrap this up. It says, as we regularly read God's word, the Holy Spirit will show us how our lives align to what God wants for us.
Oh, back to us.
I can read this one.
Psalm 9 to 11 says this.
I got it.
119, 9 to 11.
God.
Okay, go. Go for it.
How can a young person stay pure? By obeying the word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
That sounds specific.
Jeez.
How does a young person stay on the path of purity?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Simone's here for this one, yay!
Oh, we're reading in Psalm.
She's just eating her ice leaf.
It's been a long work day.
Yes.
Yes. So, holiness is a part of God's character. This important expectation is laced throughout the entire Bible. Knowing and understanding what sin is and how it impacts us is important. As Christians, we're called to be different from the rest of the world. Well, you can see that in Hebrews 12, 1 Peter 1. A solid understanding of what the Bible says helps us live out that calling. I'm going to skip a couple questions here so we can wrap up, if that's okay.
All right.
Unless there's a question that you specifically want to answer.
Dad, I want to answer what is cheese.
Okay. So, reflect. This is our last section. Reflect. The Bible is my guide. Choosing to make Jesus and His Word the center of our lives leads to some major changes in our everyday decisions. It is easy to do what we want. Certainly, living the way everyone else does is often more convenient and less challenging. Accepting the Bible as the guiding source for living is sometimes difficult and costly. But to be wise, as Jesus instructed, to be able to withstand the storms of life is worth any cost. God cares deeply about what we know about Him and the truth. He cares so much that Jesus came as the Word, a flesh and blood message from God. And John 1:1-14 says that. He also cared enough to ensure that the words of Jesus and many others God used to carry His message have been captured in this amazing work called the Bible. To read the Bible is to know Him better. To trust the Bible is to trust Jesus more. To live our life according to what the Bible teaches is to live our life as Jesus instructs. As Christians, this is a great step in truly giving control of our life to Jesus. After all, isn't he the most wise and qualified to lead and guide? Absolutely. So that last section there where it says listen to God, there's a series of questions, and these questions are done on your own. And then if you look at day one, it's going to say, you know, look back over your questions from last time.
Okay.
And so it kind of gives you a review day.
Something
on the first day.
In, 5 days.
Yeah. So we're going to close in prayer.
I already prayed today. It's your turn.
But I like to do prayer requests on Bible study nights. So Does anyone have any prayer requests?
Finals. Yeah.
Okay.
That I'm able to get all my stuff done.
So what happens is I actually take these with me and I add them to my prayer for the week as well. So
your personal prayers at home?
Well, here at work.
Oh, well, here too. But your personal.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I see.
So that's kind of the concept, is if you want to write it down, you can be praying for everyone else as well.
Sure.
For your personal prayer time.
What is this?
Anyone else have any prayer requests?
Two blank things in the Bible. Why are
always
these
blank?
It's a spacer. Those are spacer pages.
Why?
For your notes.
Well, that too.
I told you.
I want to be praying for Chris and Michelle. They're getting ready to get married, and that is a big step for them.
Oh, I know.
Just keep them in prayer.
Okay.
Is Kristen, our music teacher, private music teacher.
Yeah.
He's pregnant and having baby soon.
Nice.
You remember the baby's name?
Castle,
that's right.
Oh, my.
Interesting name, right?
It's a name from one of her relatives, like grandfather, I think.
Okay.
So... Yeah, baby almost came on Friday.
Whoopsies.
and decided, nope, not coming out.
Changed my mind. Yeah, we did a lot of that. And she's
supposed to be getting induced on Tuesday, so. Okay.
So it's close.
No music lessons for 2 weeks.
Oh.
At a minimum. But that's okay. I can
practice my butt off.
I can teach you things that you don't learn at Ms. Kristen's place.
Yeah, like C2 and be suspended.
So, let's pray. We'll pray over these that are here, and then we'll dismiss. Lord God, thank you so much for bringing us together today. We can study your word. We can learn more about you. We can put more confidence in your word, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, for finals this week, for all of our kids that are finishing up school. Thank you for bringing them through another year. Lord, I pray for Chris and Michelle and their upcoming wedding. And I pray for Miss Kristen. Lord, give her some peace and comfort, despite the fact that she's probably the most uncomfortable she's ever been in her life. Help her to get some rest and bring Little Castle into the world quickly. In your name, amen.
Amen. I'm so excited to see Castle whenever I go to. He's going to be so cute.
They always are.
I know. Until nighttime.
Until nighttime.
That's true.
It smells like coffee. That's because I drink coffee.
Because it was coffee. Good job.
Also, I just cleaned coffee maker.